For the ones who don't know about me, my name is Benjamin Ruda. I was born in Colombia, South America, and English is my second language, as you probably noticed by my pronunciation, right? Something interesting happening to me. Our conference recently, we were talking with one of the administrators, and he mentioned, oh, it came to my attention that you have some issues with your accent. So after 6 years of being working here in Aiken, they discovered that. So they noticed, Ben, yeah, you have a strong accent, and what we need to do is enroll you in an online class for something that is called accent reduction. And quite expensive program. They are paying for that. So sure, you know, let's go for it, right? Anything that it can help you to improve, we need to do. So I started taking these classes, and the person that is speaking to me is from the Midwest, and he have this beautiful accent and the enunciation. And when he is explaining to me how to pronounce words, he start pronouncing the consonants, for instance. And I didn't know, you know, like that you can pronounce, make the sound of the consonant is different from the sound on the alphabet. And it's challenging. Like, for instance, the letter P, like Peter, right? But if you want to pronounce P alone, how you pronounce it? That was new to me. It's like, P. That's P. Really? That's it. P. So. It's a new universe. Guys, you don't know how much blessed you are because you can speak English very well. So praise the Lord for that. If you notice, the title of the sermon today is Eye Surgery. And I have to tell you that after the holidays, coming from Atlanta, I noticed that I start having these black things in my right eye. They are called floaters, like little dark speckles in there. So I removed my glasses, and oh yeah, they are there. You know, they are always moving in there. Have anyone struggled with that? That was new to me. I didn't have ever that. Like that, okay, that's new. And then also I start noticing some little light flashes in my eyes, like, you know, like little sparkles in there when I move my eye in certain directions. So, like any normal person today, you know, anyone who is concerned with your health, what you do when you discover something is not working? Oh, before going to the doctor, I get online, right? Google it. Guys, look at what happened when you see speckles in your eyes and little sparks of light. And I encountered an article, right? And the article was, you need to go to your doctor right away. Something happened in your retina. You have a broken damage in your eye. It's very serious. You need to go. So I just called my doctor and made the appointment. And go to see the lady, and she check my eyes and everything. I explained her the reason for the visit. And then she was mentioned, yeah, you know, a lot of people read these things online, and that's where they come. Like, ah, that was me. I say, no, but not to worry about it. It's just part of the aging process. Good news, you are getting older. And because you are getting older, this is happening in your eyes. But your eyes are normal. They are healthy. There's nothing wrong with your eyes. So that was a great blessing. Eyesight... For me, it's something that I really, really value. I mentioned before to you, my mother struggled a lot with her eyesight, and she used to use contact lenses, the ones that were made from glass. They were very thick, and they used to be that they were not disposable. They had to wash them and disinfecting and reusing, kind of like every day. So once in a while, you know, one of these lenses fell, and then everybody in the house waking up and start looking for the lens because otherwise my mom can't do anything. And so I remember that since my childhood. You know, she struggled in her eyesight, and I didn't want to struggle with the same issues, so trying to take care of that. What about our spiritual eyesight? How do you feel? Is your spiritual vision 20/20? Are you a person that is aware of the spiritual condition in your life? Do you know that one of the main descriptions for the Laodicean church is what? What is the problem with the Laodicean church? It's found in Revelation chapter 3, by the way, verse 17 on. You can read it at home. What is the main problem for the Laodicean church? They are lukewarm, right? They are very comfortable, and they are blindsided. They are oblivious, right? They don't notice what's going on in their lives. They think that they are very rich, that they have plenty of everything. They don't have any. They don't see any spiritual needs. But God is telling them, hold on, you have a serious problem. And your problem is that you lack self-awareness. So that's my question for you today. Think about that. How's your self-awareness? Do you think that you have that spiritual insight to notice when something is wrong in your life? And that's something, actually, if we are honest, it's something difficult to answer. Because in occasions, we tend to look other people and we position ourselves in a place that we make judgment and we think that we are better than them, right? We are not like the outsiders because we come to church and we worship God. We are not like the other people because I'm trying to obey what the Bible is telling me. So in a sense, that kind of like made me a little better, right? Made me a little prouder. So I want you to come with me to the book of Matthew. And this is a very well-known portion of the scripture. I'm pretty sure you have read this many times. But I found some things in here that I want to share with you. And please open Matthew chapter 7. That's the reading of the Bible today, Matthew chapter 7. And verse number 1. And like I say, I'm pretty sure that you are aware of this portion of the scripture, right? Jesus talking to the people who was listening at this specific sermon, and the sentence begins like this: "Judge not, that you not be judged. For with that judgment that you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you not look at the speck in your brother's eyes, but you don't consider the plank in your own eye?" So it's a very interesting portion of the Bible. It's concise and very precise, right? So, few misconceptions in reference to this test. Do we judge every day? Do you make judgments every day? What kind of judgment do you make? I can give you a simple example. I like this tie because it's the blue and the red. So I selected, I made my judgment, and I picked this specific tie, right? It's a judgment. You make a judgment this morning. Do you decide what do you want for breakfast or not? Maybe you skip breakfast, I don't know. Or if you want some cereal, you are making judgments every day, all the time. We are doing that, right? Yesterday, I was at a gas station here in near the exit 22, filling my car, and then this gentleman stopped by. Nice car, well-dressed, and a lot of jewelry. And I noticed this interesting kind of like accent, like, oh, this guy is... it's a foreigner. You know, it's obvious because they probably can hear me, but I can hear them too, right? Like, when people tell you, you have an accent, you too. I didn't mention that, but that's life. So the guy approached me, and we was a little odd because it was a nice car, right? And he say, I need to ask you for a favor. I need some money. I'm moving with my family, and his wife and child were in the back of the SUV. And I say, what do you need? Do you need gas? And he said, no, I need cash. And I said, I'm sorry, I don't carry cash anymore. I don't know about you, but I normally don't carry cash. I just only have my debit card or credit card. And he say, well, and he get one of his gold rings, and he give it to me, like beautiful. I assume it was gold. I don't know what it was. I will give you this ring. Just give me some cash. And I said, sorry, number one, I don't care for rings. Like, if you offer me a watch, maybe I will do some deal with you. But no rings. That's not my thing. But I explained him again, sorry, sir, but I don't have cash. And he said, go inside to the ATM and get some cash. I say, no, I don't do that. Sorry, I can't help you. And let's just walk away. You know, my inner sense is something is not right here, right? He's nice dressed, beautiful car, better than mine, a lot of jewelry, and you are asking for money. Like, something is missing here in my story, right? And so that spiritual awareness made me make a judgment that right there. Because in occasions, I give money to people. I do. You know, like, people say don't give money to somebody in need, but I do in occasions. What they do with that money, that's between them and God, right? But in that occasion, I make a judgment and I say no. So we are always judging people. We are always judging actions. If you are walking here in Aiken or wherever you live, and you see a guy who comes close to you that is probably no... well-dressed, when their hair all standing up, and he had like a very crazy look, what you will do? Well, you will pay attention to that gentleman or that lady, right? At least you will move to the other side because you don't know if that person maybe is crazy, right? You need to be aware. You are making a call. You are making a judgment. It's a security, a safety. When you go into an airport, right, and you are traveling, and somebody stops you and asks you for an ID, what do you think they do that? It's because they don't like you? Something in your behavior or my behavior at the moment trigger an alarm, right? And in the mind of this person, they say, oh, you look a little suspicious. They are making a judgment call. And that's fine with me, because if you had done anything wrong, you don't have nothing to fear. So the Bible is saying in Matthew 7, we shouldn't judge other people. What is Jesus trying to say? What kind of judgment is that? And let me give you an insight and you think about it. The judgment that Jesus is speaking here in Matthew 7 is the judgment about salvation. Can you make a judgment about salvation to someone that you don't know? Or even someone that you think that you know? Can we make that judgment? I've been invited to do sermons for funerals in many occasions, and I remember doing that a couple of years ago for a friend who committed suicide. And that's a difficult thing to do. Can you make a judgment there? Do you know what this person was thinking in the last fractions before he took his life? Do you know the circumstances that led or pushed this person to that moment? And the honest answer is no, we don't know, right? So we shouldn't make judgments about salvation anyone, because the only one who knows about your salvation or my salvation is whom? It's God. And Jesus is clear like that, right? Don't start judging people about salvation, because if you are judging them about that, then you will be what? Judged in the same way, right? Then he moved to the second aspect of the reading. You remember? The second aspect is if you notice something in your brother's eye, and the Bible is using like a speckle, right? Like a little piece of grass, like something really, really small that you notice that your brother have in their eye, or your sister, whatever the case it is, and you had the good intention, what are you doing?
Helping,
right? That's your intention. You want to help this person so that they can see what? Better, right? So you are trying to remove that piece of dust, or article, whatever it is, from their eyes so that they can see it better. Jesus is telling you, don't do that, right? Think about that. Is he telling us that we shouldn't do that? Or is Jesus telling us, before you do that, what you need to do? Okay, so which brings me to my original point, that's eye surgery, right? In ourselves first. This spiritual awareness. What is your condition? Before you are trying to help somebody spiritually, how is your spirituality, right? Because we struggle in many issues, all of us, in many situations. So that's a good exercise that we need to do before we go to talk to somebody else. So is the Bible telling me there that we shouldn't tell people anything? No matter what they do, you're still quiet, right? No. That requires some courage. That requires that you had some honesty. And in occasions, we need to talk to each other with honesty, right? And I'm speaking now to the spouses, for instance. The person that you need to be completely honest is when you're a spouse. It's telling the truth, how certain things make you feel. We shouldn't be keeping secrets between each other, right? In occasions we do, because we don't want to hurt somebody's feeling, but the Bible is encouraging us, all of us, to be completely honest. So let's go back to Matthew 7. Let me open here my Bible. So Jesus is saying, before you help your brother, right, before you remove the speckle from their eye, you need to remove, and he says here, the plank. In other Bibles, he says the log, right? So what is Jesus saying? That my problem perhaps is what? Bigger than the one that the other person had, right? Why I don't notice? How is that possible that you don't notice that detail? Had it ever happened to you that you rush in the morning to go to work or get out of the house and you don't look yourself at the mirror? Anyone made a mistake? Going to the gym, always. You see me at the gym every morning with my hat because my hair is all like, And then I realized I need to look in the mirror before I go to the gym because maybe it's something there that is not so pleasant to look. So the mirror is something that it helps you to see yourself. And that's a painful exercise that we don't like to do. It's easier for us to look at other people and make the call than to look at yourself and see this is your problem, right? So for instance, somebody here, maybe, I'm not saying that that's your case, but somebody here maybe this morning is thinking, well, that sermon is interesting for my cousin such and such because she's always judging, right? But that's not for me because I'm good in that. No, every single time that you encounter the Bible, when God is speaking to your heart, it's for you. It's for me. It's for no one else. This is a very private moment between you and God, right? So let's go and review this for a moment. So the Bible, Jesus is saying, before you go and help somebody, you need to take care of yourself, right? When you have a disagreement, when you have a problem with someone, what do you do? What is your reaction? Let me give you a simple example. This is something that is coming to my mind because it's something common. You go to one of the stores here, and the person who was attending there, taking care, somehow is rude to you. She doesn't help you. She mistreats you. What do you do? But there's many things that you can do in your mind, right? The first thing that you can do if you want to, if you want to confront the situation, what you should do? Let me speak to your manager, right? And perhaps some of you have done that before, right? I need to talk to your manager for a moment. What are you doing that? Because you want the people who own that store, that business, to be aware of this specific employee and their behavior, and that's a detriment for the business, right? This person is not doing a nice job. That's a way that you can handle that. And what other way you can handle that? You can overlook the situation, give some grace, don't say anything, and just walk away. And never come back to that place ever, ever, ever again, right? Like, put it in your list of places that you never visit. Or, what else you can do? You can try to talk to the person and see if you can do something to make him feel better, right? We have a group here that we gather Wednesdays for prayer meeting. And I was telling my group that I go to Walmart to inquire about a tire that my son damaged. I purchased the tire for his car at Walmart online, but one of the tires was damaged. So I was trying to talk to the employee and say, listen, did I purchase the insurance that you offer when I purchased the four tires? And she was a little grumpy that morning. And keep in mind, and please be patient with me, when you are communicating with people, 20% is your words, and maybe 80 or 70% is your body language, right? People don't say anything bad to you, but you look at their faces and how their faces look. Like, kind of like, and then you are reading, right? You are making a judgment. This person is having a bad day, or maybe she's a little angry, irritated, I don't know. And I had to tell you, at that moment, when she started looking at the computer, I asked her, so how's your day going on? How's your day going? I was trying to defuse the situation because I didn't want to go and be mean to her. Not that I can, because I really can't do it if I want to. You know, I was trying to move beyond that because I really don't know. Maybe somebody previous to me was mean to her. Maybe working at that specific location at Walmart is not that pleasant. I don't know. Maybe she has some personal issues. So in my mind, I was trying to defuse the situation, and I start talking to her. And the whole situation cool off, you know, decrease. So there's many ways that you can handle a conflict with someone in daily life and in a spiritual life. But what to do when you have a problem at church? Let's say that you come to church, you are a visitor here to my church for the first time, and you discover that you don't like the pastor. What do you want to do about that? Well, again, you can go and talk to the pastor, right? You can call the pastor's employee, which is the conference, and complain about that. You can turn around and leave the building and never come back to that church. There's many ways that you can handle this. But the right way to do it as a Christian is called go and talk to your brother, right? That's not what Jesus said in Matthew 18. If you have a difference, If you have something that your brother had done to you or your sister, what you need to do? What you need to do? I'm sorry. You should go and talk to them, right? In private. The two of you alone. Do that, you know. And how many of you enjoy doing that? That's something that we don't look for, right? Like, no, I don't like to talk to people, honestly. But why we need to do that? Because in occasions, we don't notice our problems. We need somebody else to point it out to me. And you are helping me. If you don't say anything, if nobody says anything, you will continue doing the same thing over and over. I will tell you something very unpleasant that happened to me. True story. Don't repeat it. I know we are... Brian, stop the recording for a moment here. I'm about to confess something serious here. Many years ago, working in North Carolina, my goal at that location was to plant a church. So when you are planting a church, it's just a very tiny group of people, and you are doing a lot of things, right? So I'm giving Bible studies and inviting people to our group and, you know, welcoming them. My job was to welcome people to the little congregation. And that morning, you know, like many other mornings, I go to church, hurrying up, and I didn't pay attention to my look at the mirror, you know. And say hello to everybody, welcome everybody, have my participation, my sermon. Then go home like around lunchtime with my family. And my wife, at that moment, noticed that I have something white in my nose. You know, they are commonly known as boogers. All day at church, all the members who say hello to me, and no one say anything to me. How's that? Do you think that they were doing me a favor? Perhaps they didn't notice? It was obvious, it was in my face, right? And so for that reason, when you notice something that your brother or sister is doing wrong, you need to take action. But let me give you some ideas on how to do that. Number one, we need to always keep in mind that we need to give glory to God, right? No matter what we do, even when we are confronting somebody or when talking to somebody, keep in mind that we need to give glory to God. Even when the situation is difficult, even when the situation is painful, keep that in mind because that will keep you centered, right? If you drink, if you eat, whatever you do, do it for what? For the glory of God. Even when we are fighting, right? Do Christians fight? Yes. We disagree in things? Yes, we do. Even at the moment, we can go and in the right spirit talk to each other. So keep that in mind. Give glory to God. The second part that we need to keep in mind is get the log of your eye, right? The stick that you have in your eye first. So that means self-examination, moment of prayer. Think about it. Why I need to talk to this person. Why what is this person is doing is bothering me so much. Have you encountered somebody that you don't know really well and then you don't like the person just from the get-go? That ever happened to you? And you are trying to figure out why I'm doing this? Perhaps this person bring to your memory someone else that it was mean to you. Maybe like an ex-boyfriend. I don't know. Maybe this person reminds you your dad or your brother and some of their behavior or things that made you feel uncomfortable. So it is important that we need to be aware of these issues. So how we discover this? When the help of the Holy Spirit, right? God is telling here us that we need to get this log out of my eye before I go and talk to my brother or sister, right? Another thing that I want you to keep in mind is that when you are going to talk to somebody, the main reason is to help the other person, right? I'm not having this conversation because I'm trying to punish them. I'm not having this conversation because I want to feel better or more righteous or more entitled than them. The main reason is because I want to help this person. So for instance, let's do some reading here in Galatians chapter 6. This is what the Bible said about that. Galatians chapter 6. I was trying to select all my tests before here. And I found that this text is a beautiful Bible verse. Verse number 1 and 2 in chapter 6. Pay attention to this part. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spiritual and in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourselves, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the love of Christ. So what is this portion of the Bible telling me and telling you? That when you talk to people, we need to be how? Gentle, right? Humble. Why? What will happen if the situation is reversed, right? If I am the one getting the talking, how you would like to be treated. So this is something that, like I say, we don't like to do, but if we had to do it, keep that in mind. So let's say that your spouse made something wrong at home, right? You get home and you are very hungry, and then your spouse gives you this nasty rice that is all burned, right? And they expect you to enjoy the thing. And of course, you are angry, you are irritated, and then you think that's a reason to fight for, right? Like, I'm using an example here. I'm pretty sure that never happened to you. You know, like, that only happened to me. But a situation like that, right? So what do? You know, you need to be very careful in how you treat your spouse. That's your best friend right there, right? If you are start to mistreating this person, making them feel bad, hurting their feelings, we can say so many mean things with our mouth that you will never get back. So if you are angry, my advice to you, because it's something that I try to follow, the best thing that you can do is don't talk at all. The moment that you open your mouth, it's all these nasty things are coming out, and then you are later trying to apologize and get it back, it's too late. And people don't realize this, but marriage is such a complicated thing that requires so much effort and work. But it's also such a beautiful and blessed thing when you had a good friend, somebody that is your company, the person that supports you spiritually, the person that can listen to you. So it can be both. It depends on what do you do with that. But even if you are alone, let's say that you are a single person, that you don't have anyone in your life right now, you have family members, right? You have sisters, you have brothers, you had grandkids, you had kids. It's many people that we treat. I remember right now a family. And the things that I remember about this specific family is that mom was always angry with their kids. But you know when somebody's getting angry because the kids misbehave? But this person was totally angry, kind of like close to losing control with their kids. And it made me feel sad because that's a bad testimony. If you treat your kids like that, how you will treat other people? Right, this is your own flesh and blood, and look how you're treating them. And then I met her mom, and then everything made sense to me. Grandma was like that too. So what we planned, then later what we saw, right? So please keep that in mind when you are talking to your friend or to the person that you love. Be gentle, be loving, be kind. And I want to make one more point. The Bible is challenging us, all of us, to be reconciled, to go and talk to people when we make mistakes, right? It's our duty. So, like I say, in many occasions, we ignore the situation because thinking that I don't want to talk about this issue and hoping that it will go away. So what will happen if you don't talk about the issue? It gets bigger, it grows, it gets worse, right? You have a dead mouse in your kitchen. And you leave it there because eventually it will go away. Well, yeah, eventually it will go away in maybe 2 years, right? The stench of that thing will bother you for months. It's just a little animal. Just make an effort and get it out there. So you have a difference with somebody. You have a problem with someone. Pray about it. Ask God for guidance, for the Holy Spirit to lead you. But eventually go and make an effort and talk to this person, right? We need to make that effort, even if we don't want to. We need to go and talk to these people because we care for them. We love them. You want the best for them. Think about this. If you care so much to going to talk to this person, it's because you want to see this person in heaven too, right? Did Jesus die for this person too? I was amazed when Tristan was quoting John 3:16 this morning here, right? That was beautiful. I like that when the kids memorize the scripture. Because God loves so much the world that he gives his only son for us, for you, for your family, for your kids, for my friends, for everybody. So in light of that, when you think about the gospel and how God is trying to save us and help us, it's important for us that we take the steps to amend and to make restoration and reparation. One thing that I want to let you to think about, that think about how we apologize in occasions when you offend somebody. If your apology begins like when but or maybe, then you need to reconsider your apology. Because number one, we need to own our mistakes, right? I did something wrong. It was me. It's independent of how you reacted. That's my decision. That was my action. That was my problem. So when you own your own problem, then you can take a better approach to the situation. In a lot of cases, when we are dealing with problems, we don't like to see ourselves as a part of the problem, right? This person is doing this and this and this to me. But what about you? Have you done anything wrong? And that's the challenge right there. Dear brothers and sisters, I love you. God love you too. But keep in mind that we need to be honest and sincere with each other, right? Help each other. So especially spouses, you know, be honest with each other. Be gentle. Help each other. Talk to each other. You know, support each other. Encourage each other, right? That's the best cheerleader you have in your family, your spouse. That's your best friend. That's the person that I can talk anything and she will listen to me, right? And that's a good thing. If you don't have someone like that in your life, I would like you to consider a good spiritual friend at church, or someone in your family maybe that you know is a spiritual person that loves you and that they can listen to you, right? It's important for all of us to have someone like that to help us to remember who we are. Finally, the Bible is inviting us, all of us, to do everything to honor and give glory to God, right? Even when we had differences, when we had problems. Dear Heavenly Father, today we are asking you, O Lord, for your help to continue growing in patience and in love and kindness to our family, to our friends and people that we have actions every day. But Father, today we are asking you for a special blessing, that the Holy Spirit continue working in our minds and remind us of the things that we need to surrender to you. Lord, in a humble way, I ask you to please bless the meal that we are taking together and bless our families. In Jesus' name, amen. Beautiful day to all of you. God bless you.